Council meeting of January 13, 2014 to order. Would you all please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'd like to, this time on the agenda has roll call, but everyone is present. Please make note. We have at this time on the agenda a 1.4 item citizen input. As I mentioned at the last meeting, I did a little further development with some help from staff. In addition to having this time of citizen input right now, when the council is discussing any of the other issues that happen to be on the agenda, the procedure, you will have an opportunity to speak if you have some information that you think would be of use to the council in making its decision. The first thing I'd like you to do would be to, you need to secure your permission from me, the mayor, so you'll be, raise your hand and be recognized. I'm talking about not during the citizen input, you'll have up to 5 minutes, but the addressing the council with regard to any other issue. You'll raise your hand and be acknowledged. Then you'll come to the microphone. You will state your name and address. You'll state whether you're for or against the particular item on the agenda, and then you'll have 2 minutes to give us a clear and concise information that will be helpful to the council. Okay. So with that, the next item, I would like to ask at this time for any citizen input from the community. Sean?
Mayor and Council, for the record, my name is Sean Bates. I live at 1156 East Juniper Street, and I want to read something from a year ago tomorrow, comments that I made. I was rereading them and want to bring them to your attention. It says here, Sean Bates, 1156 East Juniper Street, stated that it was his understanding that Washington State Auditor's Office will be conducting an exit interview following the audit of the City of Othello and asked that they be allowed to attend. Mr. Bates congratulated the city on including all the funds from the 1/2 cent optional sales tax specifically to street construction for this year. That's the tax that's allowed under Othello Municipal Code 11.02, the 1/2 cent optional sales tax, to help everybody understand. And ask, quote, what happened to the $660,000+ generated by this tax over the past half decade that was directed elsewhere in previous budgets above the amounts of $460,000 per year? Mr. Bates stated that he has been asking this question since October 2011 and has still not received an answer and has also not received a simple flowchart per his previous request indicating where those dollars came from and where they went or what the street dollars were spent for. He went on to state that the council has seen the flowcharts created by Mr. Crozier showing that the money has been handled in a circular way that is not allowed by law and that this design was only adding to the fixed and variable costs of government, and stated since there is no legislation to approve this, that the misused funds should be replaced by the general funds. Mr. Bates suggested that the council strongly consider a vote of no confidence in City Administrator Eamon Sheldon for his apparent 6 years of continued contempt of the city council and the laws and ordinances of the city. Mayor Wilson commented that a letter will be sent as they do not respond to the issues here. And I just want to bring the council's attention. I have a 3-inch, 3-ring binder of all my correspondence with the city. I do not have a letter from Mayor Wilson, as I was promised. So, thank you.
Thank you, Sean. I will state for the record that that is right now a work product to generate an answer to that question. We believe that it needs to be answered in with respect to going forward with any additional requests for money from the community. And so that is, staff is preparing a response to that. I had asked our city finance officer to prepare a report, right, Spencer? And I think so, that is forthcoming, Sean. So at this time, that's really all I have to say. Is there any additional citizen input? No one else? With that, then I'd like to move to the consent agenda. Item number two, approval of agenda for tonight's meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Second by Mark. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item number three, consent agenda. Following items will be enacted by one motion. If separate discussion is desired, that item may be placed on the regular agenda with concurrence of the council. Request to remove items should be made under agenda item two, approval of agenda. Is there any motion to approve the consent agenda tonight?
I make that motion.
Second. Motion's been made and second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item number four. Current business. Four point one is a public hearing for the to receive a staff report and public comments on the proposed. I'd like to start that public hearing right now at 7:07 p.m. And before I continue and read this, I need to ask: is there any members of our audience that need translation? Or would like translation? No? English is fine? Okay. So, this public hearing is required by the water agreement with Adams County Water District Number 1. I will now ask staff and request order to present their staff report.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. As you know, there's an agreement, a contract between the City of Othello and the Water District, Adams County Water District Number 1. And in this agreement, we agree that we will provide water to the Water District. Also, just towards the end of the year last year, if you remember, we just changed our water rates, or set our water rates for the next 3-year period. They're set by city ordinance for 3-year blocks at a time. And so the ordinance that we just established sets the water rate for 2014, 15, and 16. And as one of the cleanup items that we need to do is revisit our contract with the Water District. In this contract, it says that the city will provide water at a rate that's the wording in a fair and equitable manner proportionate to the degree of use and services received by all users. So the Water District, being outside of the city limits, receives the water at the same rate that others do that are also outside the city limits. That's 1.5 times the standard city rate. The attached resolution in the next memo has the rates that are built based on that contract and the rates that we just established that were passed by ordinance towards the end of last year. That's my report as far as the water rates go.
Thank you. I will now ask, thank you, Spencer. I'll now ask for public testimony, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. And after I acknowledge you, please come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, and I'll allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen to speak with regard to this change in the water rates. Is there any public testimony that, please raise your hand? Yes.
Well, Councilor, my name is Miguel Zuniga, and I live in 2202 West Rainier Road. And the comments that I have is that, you know, it looks like the water goes up and up and up. And really, I mean, you know, it's kind of hard to, you know, live in that situation because it looks like the properties go down because nobody wants to buy a property in that area because the water deal. You know, I talk to neighbors, and it says, well, you know, we put property for sale, and nobody wants to buy a property because, you know, all the water deal, it's too high. So my question is anyway, you know, like this gentleman says that the city provide the water, you know, for the outside limits of city. But the question is, it doesn't affect the properties and all the deal. Is there any way to, you know, drop the rates down or, you know, that's my question, and probably you got an answer. I don't know, but that's all I have, and that's my point, that, you know, we can't, you know, leave that situation in that area. We are, you know, a lot of people there, but looks like only three Spanish people get here, you know. Looks like, I don't know if those guys doesn't get the notice or they don't care, but I care. That's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Zuniga. Is there someone from staff that would like to respond?
Mayor, council, citizens, I'm Wade Parrish, the city administrator. Been in the job just a few months, but one of the first things we did when I got here was to look at the water rates and where they were and what we needed in order to make sure we had a clean, reliable, steady source of water for the citizens. And you're right, the water rates do keep going up, and that's pretty much the same through all the communities throughout the Columbia Basin. And for several reasons. One, we have to maintain the infrastructure. Two, we have to continue to drill wells to provide for a growing population. That's not cheap. And so what we try to do over the last several years at least, is pay it forward for those improvements and those necessities. But to do that, we have to charge a higher rate instead of borrowing to build, you know, to drill new wells, to repair infrastructure, to build new storage tanks sometime in the future, and that sort of thing. So I know it can hurt sometimes when your bill goes up. But as we look at this, the council and the water committee and the council try to do what was the least painful for the citizens and still do meet our goals of providing, you know, clean water for the citizens. So as we looked at that, we said, what's the impact going to be on a typical citizen's bill? And I believe the average expenditure was, what, $3 and something more a month, $3 or $4 a month, give or take, more a month average. And that's if you had the one or two person household, or five or six person household, somewhere in the middle is the average. So that's pretty much the reason why we did that. And you know, I know it's an impact. I live in the city myself, so it'll impact me. But my wife likes to keep the yard green and the, you know, everything else, so I'm going to be paying a lot this summer too. But I hear what you're saying, and the promise we'll make, the mayor and the council will always make, is they'll keep those rates as low as they can and still meet our needs.
Mike?
I think one of the things that might be very beneficial that Wade didn't touch upon is that the water infrastructure, utility, whatever you want to call it, is a standalone thing. In other words, no money comes out of that to support streets or anything else. no money goes off to support buying dinner for council or something like that. All of the money that comes in and is collected for that stays with the water thing. It's like a separate company that we own, you know, collectively as a city. So it has to pay for itself, and you can't borrow money out of it to use it for other purposes. So that might help people understand a little better about how the water system works.
Thank you for the clarification, Mike. Is there any other public comment? Please raise your hand. Yes.
Hey, Mayor, Council. Victor Alvarado, 2213 West Rainier Road, Othello. I just decided to put my house for sale. Why? Because I own properties in Grand County. I live here in Othello. I live here since the 80s. And for the first time, I'm paying $300 a month for water just because I want to have a nice house, a greenhouse, just like a normal citizen. I mean, is something wrong with that? Having a nice green tree, you have your friends or relatives to be in a shade. And you know what? It costs me more money to have a shade in Othello than three shades in Grand County. So what I'm saying, I mean, I understand your point, but that area, 1.5 versus 1 over here, it's just, I think it's a little unfair just because I wanted to have a house in Othello. I know that several of my neighbors just put their houses for sale, same area. Sooner or later, you're going to see dry land over there with no houses, nobody wants to build, nobody wants to buy property in Othello because of the water. I know a lot of people, and I heard of some of the neighbors that are just maybe afraid of coming and talking in public, but you see their signs outside for sale. So what I'm saying is, isn't that good for the city to lose all these people moving down to Tri Cities or Grand County because one single thing, the water bill? That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Alvarado. Sean?
Mayor and Council, for the record, again, my name is Sean Bates. I live at 1156 East Juniper here in Othello. I think it would help all of the citizens to understand what is the rationale and the calculation that, what is the justification for the calculation of water that gets exported outside of city limits to have a price that's 1.5 times, 150% of what we pay here within city limits. So I don't know if council or staff would be able to comment on that at this time, but I think that would be very helpful in this discussion. Thank you.
This time, I don't know the rationale behind that calculation. What I know at this time is that's the way that ordinance, the city ordinance reads. So that's my answer at this time.
I know in part that the Adams County Water District was formed because there was a number of wells that were in that particular area of Edson Tracks, and the water quality was, and supply was not consistent. And so this district was formed. I wish we had Dora Barraza here because she could give us a little bit more, because she knows the history of that better than I do, but that it was formed so that a consistent, clean water supply could be given to the residents in the Edson Tracks area, and that way it improved the quality of life. But you know, the 1.5 is something I, you know, that's been for some time, long before, you know, I was ever on council. For any water sold, an ordinance was adopted by the city council that we would charge 1.5 times the city's rate for all water supplied outside the city limits. Apparently it's legal, but it's more than that. There's a rationale behind it, and I don't know exactly what it is, but I mean, I sympathize with Mr. Alvarado and Mr. Zuniga about the rates, but as you heard, the average rate increase is $3 to $4 a month. So, is that correct? So, that's not the only thing that's gone up out in everybody's lives is their water bill. Their insurance rates go up, gas goes up, food costs go up, and I understand that we're all in the same boat. We all have to, we just have to find a way to pay for everything that we have. And as it was explained by the staff, the city of Othello government has a responsibility to maintain a water supply, not just for now, but in the future. And these rate increases are something that helps assure that the city will be able to do that. So that's my response. Is there anybody on the council want to respond to any of these statements or questions?
And we're also looking to the future, a long ways down the future too. And we know our needs as a growing community, what we need to do. And like it was stated earlier, we're trying to do this without going and borrowing money. Because when we start to have to borrow money in order to pay for these projects, that cost is going to go up quite a bit more. So instead of charging you a 2% on top of what we have been, we'll be looking at considerably more. So we are trying to keep those costs down as much as possible, but still be able to maintain these systems and look down the future for what we do need for our use. We're getting ready to drill well 9 and run a 1 mile transmission line, which is close to $2.7 million project. And right behind that, within the next few years, we're going to have to look at a well 10. So we have quite a bit of expenditures out there. And like I said, we're trying to keep it in-house and finance these ourselves without going out to bond, and to help keep that, to keep those increases down as much as possible.
Is that $3 to $4 for in-city, or is that?
In-city.
So then then theirs would be?
$4.50 to
$6. Okay.
That's a good clarification.
Yeah, I just want to make that.
I stand corrected, Mr. Alvarado and Mr. Zuniga. The effect in your properties would be $4.50 to $6 per month increase. For property, for you. Yes, Diana?
My name is Diana Longoria, 2352 West Covey, Othello. I'm the manager for the Adams County Water District. If I say $6, what was it, the last number?
Well,
sewer also went up another $4 or $5. And then, as you guys say, you have your expenses. Insurance goes up, maintenance. I have to maintain this water system. So we have our fees, we have our insurance rates that go up. Everything goes up. So trying to keep this district to where we can still buy the water from the city is getting harder and harder each year as the rates go up 4% or 6%, and then the sewer goes up. Just this year alone, the increase for the sewer was, I want to say, $4. So then their rate goes up $10 in 1 month, in 1 year, because of my expenses, the city water rate increase and then the sewer rate increase. So that's where they're coming from. They're saying they don't get irrigation water out in Cameron Estates, how we do in Edson Tracks. So their bill gets a lot higher because they just use their regular water. Like he says, if he wants his grass green, he has to use city water to have grass. Most of them don't have grass because they choose not to pay, you know, $300 a month to have green grass. Some choose to and some choose not to. So that's just where we're coming from. You guys see it as a $6 increase. We see it, you know, anywhere from 10 to 11 with the whole picture. Thank you.
Thank you, Diana, for the clarification. Is there any further citizen comment? Mike?
I was on the council when this water system was proposed for those people out there. The reason why the charge is 150%, which we do to all, or which the city has done to all the people that live outside the city limits, okay, is to provide them an incentive to come inside the city limits to get cheaper water rate. But.
To annex?
Huh?
Annex.
Annexed. It's all about annexation and providing an incentive for annexation. I don't understand why they have to be charged 150%. We're going to annex whatever area we want when we want to have it. And I'm not so sure from what I have seen in in the records that both Sean and I have examined that the water rates are actually calculated correctly. You see, it doesn't cost any more to produce a gallon of water for those people than for us, you know? So once we sell the water, we shouldn't be making a profit off of it to subsidize our own water. That's what I'm saying. It's like not ethical, because the city was organized originally to provide some basic services, and one of those was clean water, one of them was a fire district, one of them was a police district, and things that we could not provide for ourselves. And that's how we got into those businesses in the early 1900s, and the city was organized. So I don't understand why we charge the water district at a 1.5 times the cost of our production, because we're not in business running the utility and make money off of it and cause them hardship. So I think that the whole thing needs to be examined. A lot of the big, large infrastructure problem or costs of the water system are because we have to have fire flows for the large processing plants that we have here and the parts of our city that cost a lot of money. Well, those people should be paying their fair share for that. And I'm not sure with the formula that we use now that they're not being subsidized. In fact, as I'm pretty sure they're being subsidized by all of the residential owners to a certain extent. So I think that the whole thing needs to be examined. The whole water rate structure, how it's done, how it's calculated and everything else, even down for the existing residential users that are in town. And everybody should pay their fair share. And I'm not convinced from what I've seen that that actually occurs now.
Okay, thank you. Is there any further comments from the citizens in this public hearing? Eric, you scratch your head? Yeah. Okay. All right, does there any council want to make any comments with regard to this proposed rate increase?
I would just like to make a comment. I would really want to thank everybody for the public comment, because I think this is the most public comment we've had on a public hearing in a long time. So I really appreciate the comment and your guys' input on this subject.
Any staff want to respond to any of the comments? Further response? Council? Okay, with that, I'll close the public hearing at 7:30 p.m. So, our next item on the agenda is a resolution to establish these new water rates. So, the council has the authority to make a motion and adopt this resolution for this increase, which has been in works now since the city had just recently raised its water rates in the city, in order to keep with our ordinance. Since we raised the rates on, my understanding, I'm going to need an explanation from that. Can you help me with this, Spencer?
So we just recently revisited the water rate ordinance that establishes the water rates for the city at for the three-year period, 2014, 15, and 16. The ordinance says that here are the rates for city users and the rates for users outside of the city limits pay that rate just 1.5 times, so 150%. The attached resolution here is a resolution that looks at the city rates for those same years, so that ordinance, 2014, 15, and 16, and multiplies those rates times the 1.5 to stay in line with the contract that we have with the Water District and the Othello Municipal Code.
Okay. Thank you. So the options for before the council then with regard to this resolution is they can adopt the resolution and increase the rate. They can reject the resolution and go back to the drawing board. What else?
That's
it? Okay. All right. Thank you, Spencer. We've had discussions. We've had citizen input. And I agree with Ken Johnson. Thank you for the input from everyone who spoke to this water rate increase. And now it's up to the City Council how it wants to proceed.
To keep with our ordinances, I would like to make the motion to approve the increase with Water District 1. But at the same time, I'd like to sit down with Water District 1 in the future and go over why we have why our rates are set and some of our infrastructure needs and stuff with them, and to see what they could help do also to help their water infrastructure needs for the future.
Motion has been made.
I'll second that.
Motion has been made and seconded. Now I'd like to open it up for discussion. So as I understand Councilman Johnson, he wants to approve this rate increase, but at the same time, he would like to meet with the representatives and the affected citizens of the Adams County Water District to explain that further, please.
Explain our water increases, why we had to go over them and do them, and to work with you to try to help keep these costs down in the future, because we're all users of the system. We all use this water, and we all got to pay our fair share of it, too. And unfortunately, one of the benefits of living in the city limits is that little bit cheaper rate, too, to supply the... And I won't say it costs more to supply it out of the city limits, but it is one of the benefits of living within the city limits, too, is that little bit cheaper rate. I know a lot of communities charge the 1.5, some of them are even higher. Council, I believe you represent a lot of different cities, and what are their, when they supply to the outside, what are some of their rates like?
I would say that the average surcharge that I'm familiar with is 150% of the in-city limit fee, and I would say that it's pretty much universal with the clients that I represent.
And that's pretty much statewide that we've run in comparison. Our rates are still very low, statewide average throughout the state. There are some communities that, even local communities, that their rates have went up tremendous, that are unbelievable. For their water rates.
I believe that one of the reasons that we charge the 1.5% to the people outside of the city limits is because you're not going to charge them the same as we charge the people inside the city. And they are using the city's water, so the citizens of the city have to be compensated for the use of their water.
In addition to that, mm-hmm. citizens who live outside the county, in the county, which in Edson Tracks they do, their property tax dollars go to the county as opposed to the city. And so one of the benefits that the, I mean, it's just a normal idea that you would pay more if, because all we're doing is selling the water and sewer to that district, the property tax revenue that comes from the value of your properties doesn't come and accrue to the city, it goes to the county. Right.
But that's...
So, is there any other comments, thoughts, ideas?
I just got a question. Once our water gets to the meter there, that's all their line and they're responsible
yes.
for that?
Yes, sir.
So we're only selling water, we're only selling sewer service. There, the district itself is responsible for its own line past the meter. And that's what Diana was referring to when in her testimony about we have to maintain the lines, right? Yeah. Okay. I understand. Council understand?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any further comment? Are you ready for a vote? All those in favor of the motion to approve the water rate increase, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. If we're going to meet with the Adams County Water District and their representatives, I'd like to put a deadline on that so that to make sure it happens. So I would say that we would want to meet by with staff and members of the council that can, would an evening meeting excuse me, an evening meeting would be best. Here in the city council chambers. I'm wondering out loud with Wade, would that be something we would do in a workshop, that we could do in a city council workshop, or would that be something we would have completely separate?
I believe you could do it in a workshop, but it may be better to have a more informal venue to discuss this and gather information, or we're not bound by any rules as far as that goes. No decisions we made, just information gathering. And from that, you could take it to a workshop, but I think just a regular roundtable would be the best option.
Okay. We do have many other users outside of the county that use it besides Water District 1. So we can't include just Water District 1. I think we need to include some of our other ones, too. And this increase also affects them. We have users down Bench Road. We have more users down Cunningham Road towards the end down there,
some
too. So, and like I said, some on Reynolds Road. We have many other users that are paying the same rates that Water District 1 is, that this will also affect it.
Do it with a committee.
How about Tuesday evening, February 18th at 7 p.m.?
I will be unavailable in any evenings except for Mondays.
Okay. Anybody else? Who else is on the water subcommittee? Is that okay if we have it without
you?
Yeah. Okay. So
I'll try and work it out.
Okay.
Chris can take me down.
Okay. You can do it on a third Monday when planning commission meets.
Or we could even do it earlier than the session of the workshop.
Yeah. Meet early.
Before the workshop.
Diana, can you give us some direction or guidance about time, the best time? So anytime after 5. So our first Monday is the 3rd, the 2nd is the 10th. So how about Monday evening, the 17th? Oh, wait a minute. Our workshop is the 3rd, but do we have time to prepare any information by the 3rd of February? For a Monday? No, I'm talking about my...
A little more time than that.
I think we do need a little more time than that.
I would not be available in February until the 17th.
Okay. That's usually our week off. So would Monday the 17th?
That would work for me.
Weekend would be a holiday.
That is a holiday. Mm-hmm. Isn't that President's Day? Okay.
For the normal council meeting on the 4th, on the 4th Monday,
mm-hmm.
Come at say 5:30, if that works. I think I can work that.
4th is the 24th of February?
Yes.
So we would have that for an hour from 6 until 7?
Oh, 5:30 to 6:30.
5:30 to 6:30? What we're trying to do is establish that we've heard your concerns and we want to begin to address them, and we want to meet with the users that are outside the city so that they can comment, and we can also present our side of the information as to why this is, because I think that's good government, and I think you deserve that. Okay? So Monday the 24th, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., okay? then I'll later talk with staff, maybe in our staff meeting tomorrow, about how we're going to structure that.
Okay. And I think that would give staff plenty of time to put in the utility notices that go out to our users of that are out in the county, too, so they can be updated.
Okay. Thank you. All right. At this time, at 7:45 p.m., I'd like to open a public hearing, to conduct a public hearing to receive a staff report and public comments on the city's recent marijuana moratorium. This hearing is required by state law, and so now I'll ask the staff to present their report. Catherine.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Tonight before the council is the public hearing that is required after they adopted the most recent moratorium on the recreational marijuana uses, the producers, processors, and retailers. And this is required under state law to be held within 60 days after passing the ordinance. So you've scheduled your public hearing tonight to take testimony from any interested citizens regarding the moratorium. The moratorium is in effect, however, and the state period for accepting licenses has closed, and we do now have at least definitive knowledge of how many applications were submitted for the city of Othello, and it appears that we've received three that I believe are within the city limits. All are for combined producer and processor licenses on Main Street. So as you know, there are no limits on the number of producers and processors, so that will not be part of any lottery. That will simply be processed by the state under its review process for the applications. And of course, the city's moratorium will be one of the first roadblocks for processing that application, not to mention whether or not any of our existing zoning would have prohibited those uses on Main Street at that location. And I haven't had an opportunity to talk with the city planner yet to find out if our existing zoning would provide an outright prohibition to those uses at that location, but it's quite possible that they do. And they may well violate the buffer from the protected uses as well. So I don't have any other news to report in terms of an answer from the State Attorney General's office on their opinion or any further direction from the legislature, obviously. But if you have questions, I'd be happy to try and answer what questions you have.
Thank you, Catherine. At this time, I'm going to ask for public testimony, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. If you want to speak with regard to this marijuana ordinance, moratorium ordinance. Is there anyone who wants to speak? Anyone? Okay. Since there's no public comments, I'll close the public testimony portion of this public hearing. Is there any comments from the city council with regard to this moratorium?
I got a question for Catherine. So those three licenses, are they, they're just producers, they're not selling it, correct?
Correct. They are producer and processor, not retail.
Producer, processor means growing and or refining the product too also.
That's correct. The only retail licenses that were applied for in Adams County were in Lynd and Ritzville.
Not texting. I'm putting in that Adams County Water District thing in my phone, that meeting. There was a conversation we had this morning, Catherine, amongst Wade and Debbie and Ken Johnson and myself, that we realize, I mean, we may not want a marijuana selling operation and or really growing operation, or, you know, we just have our own reasons why we don't really think that's a great idea for our community. But I think we've kind of come full circle to the realization that you can only moratorium for so long before we have to actually, you're going to have to take some action. And I think that it's going to behoove the city council to work with you to establish an ordinance that works for our community. However, I think we're going to be quite open about we don't want it here. So the restrictions are going to be difficult. At least that's what we're trying to do, yet legal. Because we, I mean, if you were going to develop a piece of property and then you were going to increase traffic to the point that we needed to put up a stoplight, that would be like a mitigation or impact fee that you would charge the developer before you would allow his project into a community. And I think that we feel, I guess I'd say we, and I'm including the whole council, that you guys can speak for yourself, but is there impact fees that can be can be included in this ordinance? For instance, if I was to have had the police chief here testify, he would say, yeah, there's going to be some issues we are going to want to keep track of. So there might be additional police response. There might be it's a business that banks won't allow them to open a bank account, so it's an all cash business. So I mean, there's just issues that are already difficult in all this. We're just in the middle. And so are those things we can do within the confines of this ordinance where impact fees, if we can identify what they are and even quantify them, is that something that we can include in an ordinance?
I think, Mayor, I'd like to answer that with a general answer, because much of the discussion that you're suggesting, I think, is a more appropriate discussion for the council to have amongst itself, quite possibly in executive session, because of the potential legal ramifications that result from those decisions. But in general, one of the questions, remember, that was posed to the Attorney General in the request from the Liquor Control Board was, can local jurisdictions create in their local zoning and other ordinances requirements that are more onerous than what the state initiative and I-502 have promulgated? And that is one of the $69 questions that everybody is waiting with bated breath for the answer on. And the answer right now is nobody can give you an answer to that question, because it's unbroken ground. Nobody has ever had to address that question. What we do know is that Initiative 502 contains certain criteria that restrict how those businesses operate and how they can establish themselves as far as the infrastructure.
Where and when and how.
Right. Mm-hmm. Can we go further than that, for instance? And one of the most obvious issues is, can we, for instance, prohibit outdoor grow operations? I think for every law enforcement public safety officer, that's a huge red flag. How do you control crime when you've got an attractive nuisance, if you will, growing across an 8-foot fence? How many juveniles is that going to really keep out in the middle of the night? So can the city adopt a regulation that prohibits outdoor growing operations but allows for indoor growing operations, meeting part of I-502's intent, but providing a little bit of protection for the city and its interests? Jurisdictions right now are grappling with, where do we, as we're in the middle of this, where do we come down preliminarily. So you've got the jurisdictions that have done nothing but rely on their existing zoning to take care of the issues. You've got jurisdictions that have adopted a moratorium, as Othello has, and you've got jurisdictions that have adopted interim regulations in the hopes that that can carry them through until we get more clarification on these issues. You've done the best you can do with what you have in the toolbox right now. You've made a decision that you feel is in the best interest of your community, and yes, you are going to have to move forward to either justify a continued moratorium or adopt some sort of regulation that will take effect upon the expiration of this current moratorium. We are hoping that we'll have some more information from the powers that be before your six-month moratorium expires, but you're going to have to start moving forward now, and that will require, obviously, discussions at the council level with your planning staff, with legal counsel, to try and come up with something. Unfortunately, the issues that you're talking about, that we would consider to be possibly environmental impacts or impacts that would be raised in the SEPA review as impacts specific to those businesses, like increased traffic. Obviously, the odor issue is a big issue for many people and is a reality. There is an odor that goes with this particular business. Unfortunately, the state did not really address that in its adopting its own regulations. It did do a SEPA analysis and a SEPA review and issued a determination of non-significance. So your question about the impact fees, the answer is no, there is nothing in the state law that specifically authorizes an impact fee. However, we do still have the SEPA process that we can use to review the impacts of these proposed businesses and uses, and we can use that as a tool to require that certain mitigating measures be taken by the developer to address issues like traffic and odor. Unfortunately, we've got this state analysis out there that the proponents are going to use as their baseline. And so we're going to have, I think, an increased burden, if you will, to justify whatever we choose to do.
So, well, I mean, in our discussion, I mean, because it's so groundbreaking, like for instance, let's say this grow operation is issued as a permit in the city of Othello, and they can grow, and he's got his 8-foot fence up, but about harvest time, he has a break-in. Well, he's gonna call the police department, he's gonna want us to patrol his property in increasing measure because we've had crime taking place. And so we hadn't really thought about that until this morning, that that's just one of many scenarios we have never even really considered. And so as a mayor of the community, I mean, I'll go on record, I'm not really for any of this, but at the same time, we need to start thinking in terms of what Catherine just said, with planning, with legal, to what are we going to allow, how are we going to regulate it, and these little scenarios that they're going to, as we go through this process and we study this, we'll come up with something that we can live with, stand by, and I just don't see where anybody's going to repeal it. I mean, it was adopted by the citizens, and even though it was voted 64% against it in Othello by the community, it's a part of our landscape that we live in. So if we are going to have it here, and it is going to be here, then let's control it, okay?
I agree. I think, though, that from what I've heard, what we should do is continue with our moratorium as long as we possibly can until we hear from the state, and in the meantime, while we're in the moratorium, start developing our ordinance.
Yes.
And I don't know, maybe we could even develop two of them depending on which way that decision goes, whether it can be stricter or it has to be according to how the state laws are now.
No.
And the council did adopt an ordinance, so we could use, and then it was repealed. So we could take that as our working document and begin to pick that apart and use that as our study model and start visualizing the scenarios that it lays out and then begin to, and then in other words, use it as a draft to continue this process. And then...
But I feel very strongly that we should stay in moratorium as long as we are allowed to or possibly can. Hopefully we'll hear something from the state before we have to do that.
Now, through the licensing process, of course, all these producers, processors, and retailers have to get their state license, but if they wish to do business within the city, they also have to have a city business license.
Correct.
And we could base our city business license, as we do have some other businesses that we feel are frequented more by the police department, for example, cabaret license, which is $450. Can we set those license fees higher because of potential use by the police department and the resources that we might see in the future?
This is a yes but answer. Yes, but you have to establish the legislative record to justify that additional burden on the business licensee. And unfortunately, because marijuana is not legal anyplace else, we can't borrow from other jurisdictions their law enforcement experience in responding to, for instance, an adult venue like we did with the other.
So we would have to start out with a basic license until we can show that it creates a burden on our...
There literally is nowhere in the world that we can go to find that statistical information, and we are required to supply a factual nexus between the additional requirements we impose and the causation by that particular business.
I can think of one, because it's all cash business that we should require them to have a security guard.
Well, and that is something that if you'll recall from the proposed interim zoning regulations, I added some additional security requirements beyond what I-502 contained specifically to address that issue because of the worry that there was going to be cash on the premises. We're still hoping from a practical standpoint that Congress will act on the banking issue before much longer. It is at Congress, supposedly under review. The other thing to keep in mind in response to your comments is that during our moratorium, because we were fortunate in not getting a retail application at the city of Othello, but other jurisdictions who do have active moratoriums have received retail applications, and those will be denied based upon the moratorium. I expect if there is going to be litigation that we will see litigation within the next few months, and that will be another opportunity as it works its way through the court system to get some answers. It will also be another opportunity to foreseeably extend our moratorium on the basis that we would want to await any court decision regarding a challenge to a moratorium.
Now, we're challenged with two moratoriums. We still have a moratorium on medical marijuana gardens within the city. And listening today, the State Liquor Control Board is actually thinking about bringing medical marijuana in underneath the recreational use.
Yeah, I two things on the medical marijuana. Yes, we do still have a moratorium, and the City of Kent case, which they have an outright moratorium on medical marijuana, and they were challenged. We're hoping that we get a decision from the Supreme Court shortly on that one. But as to the second part of your comments, the State Liquor Control Board, Department of Health, and Department of Revenue as a panel made a recommendation, a joint recommendation to the legislature on what they thought ought to happen with the medical marijuana, which was bring it under the jurisdiction of the Liquor Control Board, regulate it exactly the same as you do recreational, but don't tax it as much to give the medical marijuana patients some relief from the tax. Unfortunately, under lobbying from the medical marijuana community, the State Liquor Control Board has now changed its position and is recommending that the that all of it be regulated under the State Liquor Control Board with the exception of home grows for medical marijuana patients. And that one really causes me concern because the one of the only reasons that the federal government has withheld taking action against Colorado and Washington is that we were supposed to have established this robust regulatory system that would prohibit interstate transfer, access to minors, a whole host of public safety, public health issues. And I think allowing the home grows with medical marijuana in an unregulated context is going to beg the attention again from the federal government, because I can see that that's going to be subject to abuse. And that may be something that tips over the success, if you will, of the state's program with regards to marijuana as a whole. So I'm concerned about that.
That's something that still concerns me a lot, is that the federal government has really made no strong ruling on it. They just basically said they're going to stand off and watch, see how you're going to regulate it, but regulate it very well. There is going to be mistakes made along the way. I could see that. This is a very, very complicated situation. And you mentioned interstate. A few of these stores have actually set up along interstate highways or put applications across on interstate highways. You know who they're going to sell it to. And the federal government, I believe, can still come in and come down on local jurisdictions in the future.
The only good news, Councilman, that I think is in the background to that is that if the federal government brings an action at all, it's going to be against the state and not against the local jurisdiction, because the state has definitely, in a very public way, taken the lead as the regulatory agency. They're the ones who are issuing permits. We, as a local jurisdiction, will not be involved in issuing any permits. A business license, yes.
The taxes.
Right. So I think if anybody is susceptible to a challenge, it will be the state. And the longer the federal government waits, the more difficult the political issue that's going to be, because the state has invested a huge amount of taxpayer dollars into getting this system up and running. So I think it will take a fairly compelling reason for the federal government to become involved. But I think, just my own personal opinion, I think when they start talking about home grows and allowing a portion of it to be more unregulated, I think that's something that will draw the interest from the federal government. So I'm hoping that in this legislative session that the legislature will perhaps revert back to the original recommendation, which is to do away with home grows, period, and require that everything that is produced and sold be produced and sold through the state licensed businesses. But we'll see.
Any further comment? Questions? I'd like to close this public hearing at 8:08 p.m. Ordinance is going to need to be signed by former Mayor Tim Wilson.
The ordinance was passed in December, so yes it would need to be signed.
Does it need to be adopted then?
No, it was adopted already.
Okay. So we can move on? All right. Now we're going to talk about some public works projects with Larry Julius and Terry Clement. Terry, item 4.4.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. You got three task orders on the agenda memo, or on the agenda tonight, that we're going to talk about. They're projects that we sent grants out for and received grants for on some of them. They're important to the community, very important on some of these. And we have a few of them in here is 14th Avenue reconstruction. We also was on a grant. We also have a task order for the waterline water main replacement down there, which will come out of the water fund. And then we have an overlay down on South First there, just past Main, for three blocks. Tonight we're going to have, we have in the house here, Mr. Larry Julius from Gino. He's our city engineer, and he'll have the rest of the story to these task orders for you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The first item is for the 14th Avenue Improvements Reconstruction Project Terry was talking about, from Cemetery Road to State Route 26.
Did you want the other one? Or did you just, is the map?
This will, yeah, Cemetery Road, 14th Avenue down to State Route 26, right along here. The city received a grant from the Transportation Improvement Board, TIB, to fund 80% of the cost, total cost of the project. At this time, we're requesting council approval to start the design process. The design will include surveying, preliminary design, looking at storm drainage, street lighting, geotechnical report to find out what type of subbase we have so we can actually design the pavement thickness accordingly. We're finding that the funding agency more and more is requiring a cultural resource survey as well. Even though it's a road that has been disturbed before, they're following the letter of state law regarding disturbance of any archaeological or historical significance. It also includes consultations with affected Indian tribes, as well as the State Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation. We'll also include the bidding and awarding process when we get to it. Because of the length of time it will take to take care of all these items, we're recommending that design be done during this year so we can get permits, environmental documentation done, plans and specifications developed, approval through the state TIB to go to construction. And then right at the first of the year, next year, about this time, we go out for bids. We found that right around the first of the year, contractors are hungry. They're looking for jobs to start the new construction season. And we typically get better bids than waiting until midway through or toward the end of the construction period. The grant amount, 80%, is for design $226,000. And the remainder of the $56,500 will be funded through a split of city funds and property owners adjoining the route. And that's one of the items that will still be figured out with the city and the property owners as far as what that split is. Total amount of design grant that was approved by the TIB, $282,500. And at this time, staff's recommending award of that and authorization for the mayor to sign the task order. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Council, do you have any questions?
Terry, the 56,000 approximately, it was budgeted for, correct? And it was included in the 2014 budget.
Any other questions?
No. My understanding is the TIB grant for this was for the 2015 year, right?
Right.
Project.
Design 2014, construction 2015. It's
okay.
A two-year cycle.
So this part, the total amount for the design, is that the 282,000? Are you asking for that in 2014 for the design right now? And
then we'll come back once we have construction bids to know what the actual construction price is.
Oh, my next cost was going to see if you could wait that long until we get our money in 2015. But I don't think that would work, huh?
Happy to help out.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I to assume that the first that I'm to entertain, we're going to do these separately, these approvals, these motions?
Whichever way you'd prefer, sir.
Okay. This time, then, I'd entertain a motion to approve the engineering services from Gray and Osborne for the 14th Avenue project for design.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Motion has been made and seconded to award Gray and Osborne engineering costs in the amount of $282,500 and authorizing the mayor to sign the task order. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Go on.
Second item is for the water main replacement that's in 14th. The type of pipe, we understand, is asbestos cement. It's not a very good pipe to be building a new road on top of. In fact, cities had experience in the past when water mains have decided to erupt during construction, particularly when we're about to pave, and that doesn't look good. So we've kept this as a separate project because the funding agency, TIB, will fund road construction, but they won't fund utility construction. You know, they'll do a little bit if you've got utility manhole lids or valve box lids that have to be raised to grade, but they won't fund a complete reconstruction of a water or sewer system. We have been able to, though, piggyback on a lot of the similar costs between the design and construction of the water main and the design and construction of the roadway, so that the grant is paying for things like the surveying, the preliminary design, SEPA documents. We can combine those under the road project and get that 80% of that paid for by TIB. But there are some standalone costs for the construction, or excuse me, the design of the water main, and that's what this task order is for. The city's budgeted $300,000 for this project. The design is $20,000. And staff is recommending the council approve this task order and authorize the mayor to sign it.
Could I entertain a motion?
I got some questions first before you make a motion.
Yes.
You got 80 hours in there for CAD drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna take 80 hours to drop 2,600 feet of 12-inch pipeline?
It includes the not only the drawings of the pipeline, but the figures that go with it for details, fire hydrants, water services, connections to existing mains. We connect in down at State Route 26 on the south end. We figure there's going to be a couple of details that have to go to DOT to get their approval. It's based off of averages that we've seen or done in the past for similar jobs. And one thing, if we don't use those hours, we don't bill for them.
Okay, so this is not to exceed cost?
Exactly.
Okay. Because I'd get a new CAD drawer if you couldn't do that in 80 hours. I'm serious.
Understood.
Okay.
Yeah, it shouldn't take long, that long. The base map will be done under the road project, but we still have sheets that have to have the water mains on it. We look at what could be the worst case scenario. So if there are extra costs involved, it's covered. We like to think we'll get this done underneath that amount and be able to save funds along the way. Good question.
Okay. Now, you're including replacing the water main along from Cemetery Road all the way to Highway 26.
Yes.
Okay. I remember a project probably a little over 10 years ago. We had problems with water pressures, especially around the middle school and the schools that were having problems meeting fire flows when they were first looking at designs. And we actually put a water line in between 14th Avenue and I believe 10th Street. and connect it in. That was, I believe, a 16, I can't remember.
Okay.
But I think that follows the line of about Cemetery Road, goes over to where the Cypress Street is, and then heads west. We have, I believe, quite a bit of new line in that area already.
Okay. We'll look into that. We weren't aware of that. If we don't need to replace it, we certainly won't.
Any further questions from the council?
No more questions. No.
Any further questions? Okay. At this time, then, I would entertain a motion to authorize the mayor to sign task order number 214. Amount of $20,000 for design engineering and bid services awards for 14th Avenue Water Main Replacement Project.
Make that motion.
Second.
All those, some motions have been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Number three.
Third item is another TIB project that was awarded to the city. It's the overlay of First Avenue South between Main and Spruce. We split this project up into three parts because of the size of it and trying to fit into the amount of funds that TIB would award to a community for an overlay preservation program. And this is similar to what was done last year on Scutney Street between 1st and 7th, where we'll be grinding and overlaying, raising the utilities to grade, fixing spot repairs on the road if there's soft spots, replacing ADA deficient sidewalk ramps, and if there's any curb gutter sidewalk that are in bad shape, take care of them as well. And this is a standalone project separate from the 14th Avenue, different funding source, same funding agency. And the TIB is funding 90% of these project costs. It's similar in nature for the design, bidding, and awarding. We've suggested to Terry that we combine this project with the 14th Avenue project when it goes out to bid. So it's a little larger project, get a few more contractors interested, hopefully get better unit prices as well. So we'd be looking at design during 2014, about this time next year going out to bid, and construction in 2015. Staff again recommends council approve task order 3-14 in the amount of $52,500 and authorize the mayor to sign it.
Is there any comment from the council? Any questions?
Terry, your 50 for 250 was budgeted in 2014. The $5,250 was budgeted for 2014 already?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. This time I'll ask for a motion to approve task order number 314 for design engineering and bid and award services for First Avenue South Improvement Project with Gray and Osborne in the amount of $52,500, authorizing the mayor to sign the task order.
Make that motion.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Our next item on the agenda is acquisition of property for well number 9, and that discussion is going to be led by our Public Works Director, Terry Clement.
I've got to put on my spectacles so I see this. We've had a quite a long road trying to find ground for a well in this city, and so we've come to this, I think, the end of the road here where we can finally agree on something here. But we've got outside of town here 11.85 acres of ground here. This is actually east of 17 and north of Cunningham Road. This would be above, this property here would be above the old Cat Western States building. It's owned by Mr. Merle Booker. It's 11.85 acres. We've talked to him about laying an easement line up here back to the WashDOT and bringing it down this direction back to town. The well would sit over in here somewhere in this location on this piece of property. The cost of this, total cost of this property right here is $237,500. That's what we're, that's what he's asking for the property. We've got in a lease back to the property owner for $300 an acre to keep the weeds down, pay the water bills, power bills for it until we get to such a time that we can develop this as possibly into a park, a future park. So tonight we're asking council to make a motion to accept the purchase of this property for Mr. Booker. There's some earnest money that goes down on this upon signing of $25,000. The signing of the documents are scheduled for the 15th, and the closing date is for the 22nd of January. So, council have any questions?
Catherine?
Mayor, if I could, there is one change that was proposed by Mr. Booker's attorney, and I've just drafted the additional language, and so council's approval of the proposed purchase and sale agreement would be on my recommendation with this additional language, and that would be to add a very short paragraph 3.3 under additional consideration titled farm lease, which would read, sellers and purchasers shall execute a farm lease agreement for a term of 5 years period. The farm lease agreement is attached here to as Exhibit D and is incorporated herein by this reference. You do have a copy of the farm lease. It just wasn't referenced as an exhibit in the purchase and sale agreement.
Is there any questions from the council with regard to this purchase? We've gone over this at our last meeting, so there was some tight deadlines and some things, but apparently everything has all been worked out, and so now before us is the opportunity to act. So at this time, hang on. Yes. Oh yes, Sean?
For public record, though, he needs to be on the mic. For public, for
you need to be on the public record, so you have to have a microphone. Oh, do you want to give that to him? Go ahead. So you can. Thank you, Spencer.
Okay, so I can just use my.
Yes.
Okay.
It is.
Thank you for the accommodation, Mr. Mayor. My name is Michael Kerzier. I live at 625 11th Avenue North, and I've lived in this town for about 40 years. My question about this is that how do we know that we're buying property that are out beyond the lava dam that exists on Highway 17 that's been the problem with us sucking the water out of our petitioned aquifer. How do we know that? How did we decide on buying this property over something another mile outside of town that we know is absolutely beyond that lava dam?
have a response?
I don't have answers to all of Mr. Crozier's questions here, but I do know that they refer to it as a dike over there, and that dike runs down from a certain portion up north here and around, and it's just, it's east of 17, but they're not sure exactly how far east of 17 it is. Nobody's really for certain. That's as much data that I know of from all the studies that they've done.
The geologist wasn't even able to tell us where it is exactly. It's, nobody really knows.
Okay, so what I'm asking you is to consider the level of risk. You know, if nobody knows that it's 500 feet, do they know any more data about it being 1,000 feet or 2,000 feet or 3,000 feet? And how was it discovered? It was discovered by the United States Navy flying the anti-submarine aircraft over this area. And so they have a reasonably definitive idea of where that is because it gives you the readings on the airplane give you a reasonable location of where that anomaly is located. And I don't even think your geologist ever contacted the people at Whidbey Island to get their assistance. And there are programs where the military can assist private governments or small governments with answers to those kinds of questions. So you haven't minimized your risk here. So it's possible that you can go out and you can spend this and not be beyond that dike, because you don't know where it's at, but you know there's one out there. I'm done. Thank you.
Is there any further comment from the council? Words of wisdom and advice? I know that the city council staff has spent a considerable amount of time to identify a piece of property we could purchase to meet the future water needs of the city. And quite frankly, the question I asked was a similar one of the public works director is, how do we know there's water under there? And his response is the best data available. They've had less problems than where our existing wells are. And we have used the services of a geologist. So I suppose there's more research we could do. But this undertaking has been going on for several years, I understand, Terry, and has now reached the culmination where the city has now made public its intentions to buy property. So the decision before the council is to proceed or to go back for further study, but then that will do probably irreparable harm in our negotiation process with the seller. So I can't quantify that risk or what their response would be if we decide not to purchase tonight. So that's a decision for the city council to make. So again, staff recommends that council approve the purchase of the above property for well number 9. Yes, so I'm looking for a motion.
I'll second it.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you for the input and the comments. Next item on the agenda is the election for Mayor Pro Tem. Biannually at the first meeting of the new council or periodically, the council by a majority vote may designate one of its members to serve as mayor pro tem for a period specified by the council to serve in the absence or temporary disability of the mayor. As in an alternative, the council may appoint a pro tem as the need arises as well. So at this time, the process is as follows. I will call for nominations for mayor pro tem to serve in my absence or disability. All nominations should have a second or else they're gonna die for a lack of a second. And after all nominations are received, I'm gonna call for a vote. If there's not a majority vote, the number of nominations are reduced by either a runoff between the top two or elimination of the individual receiving the least number of votes. The nominations must include a term, which is set by the council and should be included in the motion to appoint. And this term is discretionary by council vote. So, I know when I was on city council 20 years ago, there was really only one, maybe two people who ever served as mayor pro tem in that period of time. And as a mayor, since I don't have the vote or the ability to nominate, it's my desire, and I would feel like I would have done my job as the mayor, that I think everybody should, at some point over a four-year time frame, should be able to serve as the mayor pro tem. If I'm absent, if I'm fishing, if I'm on vacation, that you would serve as the mayor pro tem of the city in my absence. And I think everybody should get that opportunity. So that's just my opinion. I don't know what your opinions are, but at this time I would like to open nominations with a term. If going back to my thought, if you were gonna do that, you have seven council members, and over the next 4 years, that's approximately 4 to 6 month terms. So keep that in mind if you share my thoughts. If you don't, that's fine too. If you have no desire to be a mayor pro tem and serve in that capacity, that's fine as well. My desire is that you all would sometime over the next 4 years. So this time I'm opening nominations for mayor pro tem.
Nominate Ken Johnson for a 1 year term.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any further nominations for mayor pro tem? All nominations have been received. Ken Johnson has been nominated for a 1 year term and it's been seconded. I will now call for a vote. All those in favor for Ken Johnson as the mayor pro tem for the next year, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Congratulations.
Thank you, Council.
Item number 4.9, City's Long-Term Debt Review. You have an agenda memo item. And Spencer, will you lead us in that discussion?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor and Council. I've prepared a brief memo here that's really a snapshot of the city's long-term debt. This is intended as a FYI, as a review, just for informational purposes for the council and for the members of the public. I've prepared just a brief little chart here that shows the five long-term debts that we currently make payments on. they're listed over here. And this schedule also has the, here's the current payment for 2014. This is the payment that we're going to be making on the State Route 24 loan in 2014, $109,000. The very last column shows where we're funding this payment from. There's another column here, debt maturity. These years are the years of the final payment for each one of these debts. So the State Route 24 debt, we're going to pay $109,000 in 2014, and that's it for this debt. After 2014, that's gone. We'll just have the four remaining debts here. Actually, in the next 3 years, 2014, 15, and 16, these first three debts are going to be completely paid off. That's pretty incredible that they're just going to be gone. We have these top two are paid out of the utility tax fund, so that's roughly $300,000 in the utility tax fund that we'll be able to use for other capital projects. That'll be a huge positive for the city. Then well number seven, in the third year out, 2016, we have $140,000 payment here that we make each year. This will then be saved. When we were developing our new water rates, I just wanted to mention really quickly, we took this into consideration. When we developed those rates, as the administrator said, we look at the impact to the members of the community and also the infrastructure and the cost, the revenues and the expenses of the water program, which is like its own business. 2016 will be the final year for this debt payment that we'll have to make out of the water fund, and that'll be done. After that, we have these other two debts, Broadway and Main Street. Those are $31,000 and $134,000 annual payments, respectively. And these two debts go out to 2007 and 2035. Both of those are paid out of the street fund. And so in the next 3 years, we're going to be down. We'll get rid of these first three debt payments up here. That's $440,000 roughly in annual debt payments that we won't have anymore. We'll just be left with $165,000 annually to pay in debt payments. That's a pretty good position that our city's in. And also to give a little more clarity to the debt that we have, I prepared a little chart here right at the very bottom. This chart at the very bottom shows us what our limitation of indebtedness is. This is the ceiling established in the Revised Code of Washington. The RCWs say, as a city, we can obtain a level of debt up to this much. And it's based on a percentage of our assessed value, whatever the most current assessed value from the county assessor may be. And without a vote, so the council just by yourselves can, here's the ceiling, $7.2 million, and then with a vote, a 60% vote from the public, the city can go up to a debt limit of just over $12 million. Here, currently, we're at 3.9, and that's a really good position to be in. As we all know, it costs money to borrow someone else's money. The city has been managing its funds for a number of years in such a way where we don't have to borrow funds. Well, we have to borrow funds where we've been able to minimize the amount of funds that we've had to borrow, and that's really incredible. That's going to help our ability to fulfill the wishes of you as the council, the members of the public, and working on streets, other infrastructure projects around the city, things that we want to have done. We're not going to be tied up in the future to decisions that have been made in the past. So that's a great thing. That's basically the report. Very brief.
consider.
Well done, Spencer. Thank you. Is there any questions of Spencer from the council?
I got a question. Can you, like, repay loans ahead of time?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, that would work just like each one of these loans have an interest rate attached to them. And when we pay these loans off early, it just means that final payment is not going to be hanging out there for the 20 years. It's going to be gone. So we're not going to have the interest accruing on that payment that's just hanging out there. Yes, that's absolutely an option. When we look at the budget, that's something that we can review. What's our capability of paying off debt early? It just frees us up that much more.
Would that work basically just like a house payment where you're making payment to principal as opposed to the interest?
I believe so.
Okay.
So the reason I had asked Spencer to do this, it's informational. It's good information not only for us, for our future strategic planning purposes, but it also is good information for the public. Thank you, Spencer. Any further questions? No? Okay. Then next up on the item on the agenda is 4.1 2014 Ad Valorem Amendment Ordinance. Spencer?
Towards the end of the budgeting process, I brought some numbers before council that we got from the county that sets the limit for the property taxes that the city can receive. At that time, I had some numbers from the county that were kind of a best guess or an estimate from the county, and that's the number that the council accepted. $1,520,000 being the maximum property tax dollars that the city can receive throughout the 2014 year. If the issue with setting out by ordinance the ceiling here, $1.52 million, is the city can't receive more than that if the value happens to be more than that. The day after we accepted this dollar right here in ordinance, I got the final assessed numbers from the county assessor. It was the day after. And that valuation said that we could accept up to just a little over $6,000 more. And so I've just prepared an ordinance tonight that amends that initial ordinance to accept the total maximum dollars available to the city through the property taxes. So tonight before you is an ordinance amendment to accept, to amend our ad valorem ordinance, accepting the.
Any questions of Spencer? Okay. This time then I'd entertain a motion to approve the amendment to the ad valorem tax ordinance for fiscal year 2014.
I'll make that motion. Second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Spencer. The next item on our agenda is number 5, unfinished business. 5.1. At our last meeting, we had proceeded forward with our committee appointments, and in the discussion we recommended to the ACDC appointment of Ken Kaler to represent the city of Othello. And then after being questioned on whether we were doing that properly, we went back and reviewed with the bylaws of the ACDC and with Ken Johnson, and it was discovered that Ken Johnson is actually a representative from for the town of Hatton, and so it wouldn't make sense to have the city's representative as someone who isn't an elected official. So at this time, then, I would like to withdraw the appointment or the recommendation to the Adams County Development Council of Ken Kaler and make the recommendation. Do we need a motion? Okay, then I'd just like to make that recommendation that we have to the Adams County Development Council Board that they appoint Ken Johnson in the city of Othello. And then if they want to, because they're a separate board and they're going to set their own board, so we just make recommendations from the city. So if they want to appoint Ken Kaler as a representative of town of Hatton or any other category, then that's up to the ACDC board. But at this time, we only are going to make our recommendation for our city council representative, and that being Ken Johnson. Any questions? Okay. Have a consensus then?
Yeah.
Okay. Item six is new business, 6.1 Tony Hawk Foundation grant. I know we are 2 days away from the Tony Hawk Foundation grant deadline for help grant funding for a skateboard park. And Wade, did you want to speak to that?
Sure.
Or Gina? Where's Gina?
I
the fear in her eyes is saying.
Well, no, I just know I was there.
I said that because Gina and John were at the, and Mark were at the Parks Committee meeting today where,
yes,
where Molly sort of briefed us on that. And where we are with it, Molly or someone had heard about a, actually, Mayor, you said there were some possible grants there for skateboards, so Molly went on the line, Jennifer went online, I had an assistant, found that there was a Tony Hawk's, who was an old skateboarder, I guess, grant for skateboard parks, and she gave it to Molly, who ran with it, literally ran with it, because she just found it out last week, put the stuff together, and the deadline is tomorrow night, well, Wednesday night at midnight, and the last piece she was missing was a possible proposed location, and she's put that in there, and she'll get it in the, basically in the mail tomorrow, and hopefully we'll get the grant. We don't know if we're getting it yet or not, but that's where we are with that, and the information on it for you all. Anything to add?
Yeah, she also said that if something happens and we don't get the grant this time, there is another opportunity in June to apply again.
Okay, good.
There's also one more grant.
Yeah.
I don't know what that
is.
She was saying it was a, it didn't sound.
It's the U.S. Department of.
No, it's a, what was it? It's kind of a, you put trees in and you keep soil erosion down. It's a USGS kind of a grant.
She's checking into that, so it's just the information for the council and for the citizens is that we are, with the mayor's leadership, we're getting more proactive as far as going after grants for things like this. We've always been active, obviously, with roads and that sort of thing, but there's other grants out there, so we're going after them. Okay, any questions on that?
So what's the possible location that we put in?
Can you describe that?
It is Mid Park, just to the west of the pool parking lot, north of the playground area, kind of out there. I guess there's a little, Terry, you were saying there was a little swale there. And
is that right by where the tree just, Mother Nature just removed the tree for us?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. In fact, there was a poplar tree that he said that probably needs to come down.
It's already came down. It came down this last windstorm. We just covered the hole in. So it is there. There's a swale in there which will eliminate a lot of excavation for anything you're going to have for a pipe or something of that nature. So it's north of that playground, sandy area, north of the walk path, kind of centered up in that chunk of grass right there.
So thank you. I guess the thing is I've been getting questioned by my son, who's an avid skateboarder, and there's others who skateboard and they want to know what's going on. So what I've told them is it's still in committee, and that we are an applicant for a Tony Hawk Foundation grant. They all know who Tony Hawk is. And my son in California said that it would be nice if we could have Robin Big show up for our grand opening ribbon cutting.
Right.
We had one of the young men from the community in the committee
Big Shadow.
Meeting today.
So this location is right about in here. This area right here for that skate park.
We thought it would be a buffer from away some of the concerns about being too close to houses or being too close to other things. You see there's a big buffer around that for anybody concerned about noise or anything else. We also learned today just for information that the skateboarders pretty much police their own parks, i.e. they keep the riffraff out because they don't want them there. They're very proud of their parks when they have them. And so if anybody has a concern about that, I think that's not a very valid concern to sound like. And they also try to keep it clean and clear.
And we also got some information from Josh Moe's, who runs a skateboard store up in Moses Lake, that they have fairly frequent competitions and bring in up to 40 skaters and their families into the communities, which that was another concern, is making sure that it was close to some parking and not too far afield.
Well, that's right there by the parking, so, yeah. Excellent. All right, any further comment? That's just an update. Thank you, Terry.
Yeah, there's one other thing that I want to add is the council's approved two restrooms for each one of the parks, and this skate park would be generally located right in this area. There's no restrooms in this area except for clear down here. So this is a high spot in the park here, and our sewer line runs across here, down here. So we're able to put this restroom in this area here to accommodate this shelter, this, and all of this down in here for the public. So that'll add to this and take up all of this in here, where we added 7 or 8 porta-potties in here for the events, but it'll set right on this high spot here, and then it'll give us enough gravity feed to connect here and run down to this direction. So just added feature.
Yeah, and that shelter gets used tremendously, so I'm sure they'll appreciate having a bathroom nearby too. Okay. Is there any other items to come before the council? Hearing none. I'd like to adjourn this meeting for this evening.